Y'all got your Bible? Let's hold it up, make our confession. This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says that I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'll not leave the same as I came in Jesus' name. And every time I come to church on the rock, my faith gets stronger and stronger. Give God your best shout today. Amen. Hallelujah. Open your Bible with me, please, to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 1, and the scriptures will be on the overheads for you as well. But I'm excited about this new series, how that your ministry matters to God. Now, y'all got your thinking hats on, right? And y'all ready to receive revelation, knowledge, going to grow? We've prayed, amen? If 87% of Christians don't know what their ministry is, then you know what? They're not living up to their full potential. So are you ready? Okay, let me give you a few words. The first word would be created. Now, if you're a note taker, I'd write these down because it's vitally important to your happiness, to your fulfillment, to you having a sense of meaning and purpose, and to know your identity and who you are and who you're to be. The first word is created. God created us. Then number two, God called us. God created us, and God don't make junk. God created us. God called us. Third word, God gifted us. So we're gonna establish this in the Word of God, but I want to give it to you right up front where we're going. Is that God created you and me, then God called us, then God gifted us. Do you know that when you were born naturally, you were born with gifts, talents, and ability? Am I right? Then when you were born again, you were given at that time, when you were born again, you were given specific talent, gifts, and abilities. So God created us, God called us, God gifted us, and then the next word would be for a ministry. A ministry. Every member is a ministry in the body of Christ. The Bible calls you a royal priesthood. Did you know that? That you're a royal priesthood. You're all ministers, and you have a ministry. And if you don't know what that is, you'll live your life frustrated, fatigued. You'll live your life feeling like a failure, and that's not God's will for your life or for my life. So again, God created us, and you will be tested, but it's an open book test. God created us, God called us, God gifted us for a ministry, and the next word would be to serve His purpose. Our ministry is to serve not our purpose, but His purpose. Our ministry, our gifting, our talent, our ability is to serve His purpose. You and I are to take what God has given us, gifts, talents, and abilities, and we are to make the most of them and return them back to Him. We're to take what God has given us and make the most of it and then return it back to Him and honor Him with it, bless others, and build the church. So God created us, God called us, God gifted us, God gave us a ministry to serve His purpose. Amen? To serve His purpose. That is so huge, to serve His purpose, not our purpose. And the last word would be then to make a difference with our life. To make a difference with our life. And on Wednesday nights, I'm teaching a series that we're entitling Different. Different. I'm showing how we should respond to what's going on in our world by being different. So that's Wednesday nights. So now, you tell me what these words are. The first word was God created us, and then He called us, and then He gifted us for a ministry to serve His purpose, and then what? To make a difference. To make a difference with our life. So that's what we're going to talk about this whole month. So let's begin Jeremiah 1 and verse 5. God says to Jeremiah, before I shaped you in the womb. Would you write down the word or mark the word shaped? God shaped you for significance. God put you together for a plan. God made you for a mission. Your strength, and you know, if you want to be a success, you want to maximize your strengths, right? Not your weaknesses. So God gave you your strength. And when you know what your strengths are, it will take you and steer you to your destiny. Knowing your strengths steer you to your destiny. Knowing how God shaped you shows your significance. Knowing how God put you together, knowing how you're wired, it's connected to God's work that he has for your life. So he says, before I shaped you, before I created you in the womb, I knew all about you. You know, isn't that wonderful to know that God knows everything about us? He knows every hair in our head, right? He knows every thought in our head. He knows every word that we say. The Bible says all of this. The Bible says that he knows every day we're going to live before we live it. He knows every hair on our head, every thought that enters our mind, God knows. Every word that we speak, God knows. Everywhere we go, the Bible says that God even placed us in the community before the foundation of the world that we were live best in. God knows everything about us. God knows our potential, and God knows why he created us. So we shouldn't go to other people and ask them what we should do with our life. Oh, that's huge. That's so important. Let me just read these to you. I wrote these down yesterday. Here, someone said, you are hopeless as a composer. Who was that? That was Beethoven's teacher. You are hopeless as a composer. Here's another one. You are so stupid, you will never learn anything. Edison's teacher. You will never be good at math. Einstein's teacher. This guy was fired at the newspaper by his editor, who said to him, you have no creativity. You're fired. Walt Disney. You know, isn't it amazing that God knows all about us? He knows how we're wired. He put us together. He designed us. He shaped us. He knows more about us than anybody else. So we need to go to him to find out, right, what our ministry is. So he says, before I shaped you in the womb, I knew all about you. Before you saw the light of day, look at that, church, I had not just plans, I had holy plans for you. Wow. He said, when I shaped you, he said, even before I shaped you. So notice, your form determines your function. Your form determines your function. You know, you look at a hammer, and just by looking at the form of the hammer, you know what its function is, right? So when you know how God formed you, you know your function. When you know how God made you, you'll know your mission. When you understand God put you together, you'll know how and what your plan is. When you know how God designed you, then you'll know God's destiny for your life. When you maximize on your strengths, it will steer you to your destiny. Your ministry really matters to God, and it really matters to me and Church on the Rock. Because you see, the gift that you have, we need a Church on the Rock, or God wouldn't have sent you here. The gift and the ministry that you have, we need, or God wouldn't have sent you here. So he says, before I shaped you in the womb, I knew all about you. Before you saw the light of day, I had holy plans for you to be a prophet to the nations. That's what I had in mind for you. Psalm 139, verse 13 through 16. This is huge because, again, we're establishing God created us, then God called us, then God gifted us, right? Then he gave us a ministry Amen. To serve His purpose and make a difference. You made my whole being. God made us, family. God doesn't make mistakes. God doesn't make junk. And God doesn't make inferior products. Hallelujah. So God, you made our whole being. You formed us in our mother's body. Verse 14. I praise you because you made me in an amazing and wonderful way. What you have done is wonderful, and I know this. We need to know that, right? We need to know that you're God's handiwork. You're God's workmanship. He says, I praise you for that. Have you ever, when's the last time you thanked God for making you you? Thank God for making you you. Instead of wanting to be somebody else. When's the last time we'd say, God, I was going to praise you today because, God, you know what you're doing and you made me this way and you put me here at this time in this place because you know all about me. And, God, you know how to bring the best out of me. Next verse. He says, you saw my bones being formed as I took what? Shape. You saw, you formed, you knew as I took shape in my mother's body when I was what? Put together there. Oh my goodness. I was put together there. God put you together. Next verse, verse 16. You saw, notice all the verbs, you know, you saw, you formed, you shaped, you made, you knew. Wow. You saw my body as it was formed. All my days, look at this family, are planned out for me. Every day, even Labor Day in 2000, what is this, 17? Had to think for a moment. Time goes fast when you get young. Amen. So he said, you saw my body as it was formed. All my days are planned for me, and they're written in your book before I was even one day old. Oh, my goodness. So, you know, I want to know that holy plan, don't you? I want to know the ministry that God has for us, each and every one of us. If you weren't needed, God wouldn't have sent you here. If this church didn't need your ability, your talent, and your gifts and your ministry, God would have never sent you to Church on the Rock. We need you. You are important, and your ministry matters to God and this church. Amen. You know, a documentary about Elvis Presley. Now, some of you younger people don't know who Elvis was, but there's a lot of fake Elvises out there today. Amen. But Elvis Presley, you know, they were doing a documentary at Graceland in Memphis. And they were doing this documentary, and Priscilla Presley, they were interviewing her, and they said to her, Priscilla, you know, you were the wife of Elvis Presley. You lived here in Graceland with him. Behind the scenes, what was Elvis like? This was a documentary on television, secular TV. She said, well, Elvis was a very frustrated man. She said, Elvis was very frustrated. When he wasn't on the platform performing, he was a very unhappy, frustrated man. And they said, Priscilla, you got to be kidding me. Elvis Presley, you know, he was frustrated. He was unhappy. Yeah, she said, the only time he was really happy was when he was performing. And the interviewer said to Priscilla, why is that? And here's what she said. It was on TV. She said, because when he was on the platform, he was able to forget. He was able to not think about how he believed that he was called into the ministry and never went. Elvis Presley, secular television. Priscilla Presley telling the story about Elvis. She said he felt called to full-time ministry, but didn't want to do it. Because when he was growing up, true story, he went to an Assembly of God church, tried to join the choir, and the choir director said to Elvis Presley, you can't sing. We don't want you in the choir in our church. Never came back. So you see, you know, there, what did Elvis do? He missed out on his calling. He missed out on his mission. He missed out on his ministry. And he loved performing because that's when he could wipe it out of his mind that he was called to ministry but ran from it. I'm telling you, God has a holy plan for every one of us. God's planned out every day of our life before we were even one day old. Let's look at another scripture. Look here, over here is with me, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. So we've been created by God, right, church? And then we've been called. Now, every one of us in this room, we have two callings. In fact, every human being has two callings. Here's what they are. Number one, if you're a note taker, everyone is called to salvation. Everyone is called to salvation. Pastor, why does God send people to hell? God doesn't send anybody to hell. They choose to go to hell. They choose not to let Jesus pay for their sin, so they have to pay for their sin throughout eternity in hell. Did you get that? They choose not to receive what Jesus did and make him Lord and Savior and let him pay for their sin. They choose to pay for their sin. And God says, if you want to pay for your sin, go ahead. It's not my will. You'll pay throughout eternity in hell. So every human being has two calls. One is the call to salvation, and the second one is the call to service. One is the call to salvation, and the second is the call to service. We've been saved to serve. Amen. So look what he says. For it is he who delivered us. And then what did he do? He saved us and he called us. It's scripture, folks. It's right there. Two callings. Every one of us. Every human being. I'm a Catholic. Well, great. But if you go to heaven, that's going to blow off. If you go to hell, it's going to burn off. I'm a Baptist. Wonderful. But if you go to heaven, great, it'll blow off. If you go to hell, it's going to burn off. You know what I mean by that, right? You don't get to heaven because you're a denomination. You don't go to heaven because you're a good person. You do well only if you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and answered the first call. There's no other way under heaven you get to heaven except for that name. So the first call is the call to get saved. And then the second call is to find out where you're to serve. In the local church, 87%, latest survey, Pew Research, don't know what their ministry is in the church. I want to help solve that this month. For he saved us, and then he called us with a what? Calling. Isn't it good to know that you're called, and you have a calling on your life? And don't be like Elvis Presley and miss your calling. You have a calling, it's holy. It leads to a life of consecration, a vocation of holiness. He did it not because of anything that we merit, that we've done, but because of and to do what? Further his. Boy, these sounds like those words I gave you at the beginning of the sermon today, right? He created us. He what? Called us. He gifted us for what? A ministry to serve his purpose, to make a difference with your life. Wow. So look, he did it to serve his own purpose. See, I'm here for God's purpose. This church, this campus, 33 years is here for God's purpose. All of our ministry that goes on here is to further his purpose. Not my kingdom, not your kingdom, not my purpose, not your purpose. Our service is for his purpose. Amen, church? Say it with me. Our service is for his purpose. Can you give the Lord a good praise right now? Come on, let's give the Lord a good praise right now. For his own purpose. See, when you're involved in purpose, you heard Ryan say on that sermon bumper, he said, it's great to be a part of something bigger than me. And that's what we're doing here today, right? I got up and came here today because it's bigger than me. That purpose gives me power. See, when you're part of God's purpose, it gives you power to overcome obstacles in your life. Oh, my goodness. To further his own purpose, which was given favor given to us in Christ Jesus. When did all this happen? When did he save us? And when did he call us? And when did he give us the divine purpose? Before the world even began. Wow. Really, Pastor? Yeah, doesn't the Bible say about Jesus that he was the lamb slain before the world was ever created? Wow. God is an amazing God, isn't he? He's an amazing God. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4 with me. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. Boy, I feel the anointing of the Holy Spirit here today. God has given some of you. God has given each of you, every one of you. Now, I know it says 87% of you don't know what your ministry is, but after this month, you'll know. In fact, if you'll go through our growth track classes, by the time you get out of there, you'll know, because we give you a spiritual test to help you find your ministry. Okay? So he says, God has given each one of you special abilities. So when you were born naturally, you were given talent, an ability, and skill. But then when you got born again, you were given talent, ability, and skill. Amen. That is so good. God has given each one of us special abilities. Be sure to what? Use them. Folks, I found out that what you don't use, you lose. It's that way with our physical anatomy, isn't it? With our body. If we don't keep moving, I was watching the 700 Club, Pat Robertson, this week. They had a gentleman on there. He's 74 years old. His mother lived to be 102. And he's 74 years old. He just wrote a book called Keep Moving. It was on the 700 Club. He's 74 years old, and he is in such a great shape. And his whole book is about just keep moving, and you keep your muscles and your joints working. The worst thing we can do is set. So he says, be sure to use them. Now, what are we supposed to do with our ministry? Our ministry is to, if you're a note taker, honor God, number one, with it. It's for his purpose. Number two, all of our ministries, and you have a ministry, all of our ministries then is to help other people and bless other people. I hope I'm blessing you today with my gift. It's to help other people and bless other people. Amen. So we're to honor God. We're to bless other people. And number three, we're to build the church. Build the kingdom of God with our gifts, our talents, and our abilities. So he says, God's given each one of you ability. Be sure to use them. Why? To help each other. What will it do? It will release many kinds of blessings. Now, can I help you find your ministry? I got 3 points. Number one, you've got to discover it. You've got to discover your ministry. You've got to discover it. Pastor, how do you discover it? You discover it this way. What are you good at? What are you good at? Number two, what do you enjoy? What are you good at? What do you enjoy? And number three, where do you get fruit? Get results, get success, get increase. So what are you good at? What do you enjoy doing? And what do you get results in? That's what you want to look for. You know, what are you good at? What do you enjoy doing? But also, you know, you got to go farther than that. Where do you get results? Now, I've got a guitar collection. I love guitars. And you know, Daniel has taught me to a few chords. And you know, I love that. And all it's about, I said, Daniel, just teach me some chords, because I just want to play my guitar and my own personal devotion to God. I love strumming my guitar. I love, you know, going through some of the chords that he's taught me and just worshiping the Lord. I love doing it. I enjoy doing it. But I'm not good at it. I would never get up here this morning and say, okay, I'm gonna lead you in praise and worship. Now, even though I enjoy it, y'all won't. So now I know I'm not called, it's not my ministry to be a worship leader. Does that make sense? So you have to discover it. You don't determine it, you don't decide what your ministry is. You know, you have to be good at it, you have to enjoy it, but also you have to get fruit from it. Let's look at Galatians chapter 6, verse 4 and 5. Galatians 6, verse 4 and 5. This is amazing. So number one, how do you find your ministry? You have to discover it, okay? So make a careful exploration of who, look what the word says, who you are and the work that you've been given. So how you're wired is connected to your work, okay? How you're wired is connected to your work. So he said, you need to find out, you need to discover, explore, right, church? Explore. You need to explore who you are, how you're wired, and the work you've been given, and then throw yourself into it. Sink yourself into it. Don't be impressed with yourself, but don't compare yourself with other people. So when you discover who you are and the work you're to do, then you stop comparing. You stop allowing other people to conform you into someone you're not. And then you no longer live in confusion. Many of you heard the story, but when Kim and I was 21, she was 19. We'd been married 2 years. I'd been running from God. I didn't want to go into the ministry. I had wrong perception of what ministry would be like because of what I saw growing up. But I finally said, God, you know, everything I have is not fulfilling me. And God, I'm ready to surrender, go whole hog, sink myself into what you call me to do. So Kim and I sold my Corvette, sold my Kawasaki 900. We got rid of this and got rid of that. We were going to build a new home out in the country. We didn't do that. Got ready. And I went to see my pastor and I said, now he's a good man. He loved us. He's in heaven today. He's dead, but he's alive in heaven. But he said to me, he said, here's what he said, Dave, I love you, but you'll never make it in the ministry. You don't have what it takes. You'll never make it. Don't do it. It's my pastor. I advise you, don't even try it. You'll never make it. I'm so glad he didn't put me together. I'm so glad he didn't wire me. He didn't create me. He didn't call me. Now, many of you are identifying with this because you have people telling you who you should be and who you can't be. When you and I need to discover and you need to explore for yourself, who are you? And then you'll know what the work is for you to do. And then you'll stop comparing, you'll stop competing, you'll stop conforming, and you'll no longer live in confusion, and you'll have identity. You'll be comfortable with your own skin. Next verse, verse 5, look what he says. Each of you must take what? Responsibility. Each of you must take responsibility for doing the creative best. I'm doing my very best today I can do for y'all. Do your creative best that you can with your own life. So you and I are going to be responsible, stand before God with what he gave us. What did we do with it? What did we do with our life? Did we waste it? Did we try to be somebody else? Did we live confused? Or did we take what he gave us, made the most of it, were creative and did our best and give it back to him and serve him with it? Powerful verses, aren't they? So number one, you have to discover it and you will be held responsible for that. I'll be held responsible to equip you, but you will be held responsible for what you do with what I teach you. Okay, so then number one is you have to what? Discover it. That's so important. And then number two, you have to accept it. Look with me in Romans 9, verse 20 and 21. Am I helping anybody today? Is it really helping you today? Okay, I hope so. Boy, if it's not, something's wrong. But what right have you as a human being? You know, I thought it was very interesting because Daniel and the choir, they go out and greet people before the service starts. And last night after the service, Daniel, we pray every night together. And Stephen, we all pray together every night. And Daniel said to me last night, boy, Dad, that was so good what you taught today. Because he said, I went to someone before the service last night. I thought they were a first-time visitor. And they said, no, Daniel, I've been coming here for 8 years. And Daniel said, well, what do you do here? And she said, listen to this, Steve, I don't do anything. Now, she wasn't being smart aleck. She said to Daniel, I don't know what I'm supposed to do with my life. Why am I teaching this? Right there. All right, so, but what right have you as a human being to cross-examine God? Isn't this good? What right do we have to get angry at God for making us the way he made us? Oh, my goodness. So we have to not only discover it, then we've got to accept it. Our ministry, our calling, our assignment. But what right have you as a human being to cross-examine God, the pot? Now, who would that be? us. The pot is us, okay? The pot has no right. Has what? No right to say to the potter, who would that be? God. We have no right to say, God, why did you make me this way? We have no right to say that because God doesn't make junk. And we found out that what God makes is good. We found out that what God makes, God put us together, God designed us, God crafted us, God called us. God, he made us for a mission and a ministry, and I think he knows what he's doing. Amen. All right, so look at that. So that's going to help some of us to stop being angry because, you know, I'm white and I want to be black. I'm black, I want to be white. I'm white, I want to be brown. I'm brown, I want to be white. I'm young, I want to be old. I'm old, I want to be young. I'm rich, I want to be richer. I'm poor, I want to be rich. I'm not educated, I want to be educated. I wish I didn't have as much education. You know, we need to stop that if we're going to make a difference with our life and accept who we are in Christ and be our creative best to be the best you can be. Go ahead and celebrate. Give the Lord a good praise. Don't you love the Bible? So what right have you as a human being to cross-examine God? The pot, who's the pot? Us. Say to the potter, who's the potter? God, why did you make me this shape? Next verse, verse 21. Surely a potter can do what he likes with the clay. Surely a potter can do what he likes with the clay. It is surely for him to decide. Who decides? The potter. Who's the potter? God. So we don't decide. You know, my grandson, Ethan David. If you've met Ethan, he's the happiest person he knows. You know what I mean by that? He's a sanguine, he's outgoing, he's a people person, doesn't know a stranger. And you know, there have been times, and then I had to repent for that, I would say, man, Ethan, I wish I had your personality. Boy, Ethan, I wish God would have gave me your personality. And then something on the inside just kind of, what is that? That's the Holy Spirit correcting me. Hey, Dave, I made you who I wanted you to be for what I've called you to do. Same thing with you. So notice that he says, surely the potter can do what he likes with the clay. It is surely for him. Him is God. God decides it, not you and me. We discover it, then we accept it. Whether he will use a particular lump of clay, oh, I love the word, to make a special pot or an ordinary pot. So number one, what do you do as a team comes out? You're going to have to discover it, and you're responsible for that. And you see, what is it? See, your strength. You want to build on your strength that steers you to your destiny. You know, in other words, if you're an electrician, you should use that here in this church. We need your help. If you're a carpenter, you should use that here in this church. We need your help. If you're an IT person, whatever you're good at, that's what God called you to do in the church as well as out there. If you're an IT person, oh my goodness, we need about 12 more IT people at our church, volunteers now. You know, whatever you're good at, that's what God has called you to do in the church. If you're a contractor, if you're a builder, we need all kinds of repairs on this campus. That's what you're to do in the local church. Well, you know, I'm a contractor, but I want to sing. Well, can you sing? Well, I enjoy it. No, we didn't say that. Can you sing? Because you may want to be in the choir, but if you can't sing, we need you to do carpentry work around here. Does that make sense? Oh, I'm a painter. Then that's what God has called you to do in the church. If he gave you that gift when you were born naturally, then when you got born again, the Holy Spirit came on that ability, made it even better. We got all kinds of things that need to be painted in this church. I'm a landscaper. Then that's what God called you to do in the church. The craft, the ability, the skill that God gave you, that's your ministry out there, and that's your ministry in here. If you're an educator, if you're a teacher, then that's what you should be doing in this church with our classes, our children's ministry, with all that we have going. You should be teaching in the local church. Does that make sense? I got to hustle here. So he says a special pot or an ordinary one. So we're going to discover it, and then we're going to accept it. And then number three, we're going to use it. Use it. I found out just in using it, it gets better. You know, I had someone on our team that I love them dearly, this couple, and they feel called to be pastors. And I can see that gift on them. And I love them dearly. And so I was meeting with them this last week, and in our mentoring session, they said, "Now, you know, Pastor, we feel called to be pastors. So what should we be doing? What should we be doing to get ready to be pastors and do one of our satellite campuses at Church on the Rock? What should we be doing?" And we said, immediately, you should be looking for every opportunity in the church to speak, because you want to develop that speaking gift if you're going to be a pastor teacher. So the more you use it, the more it will grow. What you don't use, you will lose.